Kevin's passing those out. If you need one, keep your hand up. And I've got a couple of announcements. Number one, I'm not from Tennessee. And number two, I'm not going hunting after Bible class. So if anybody else has anything to say about my shirt, let's get it out of the... What? That song, "We Saw Thee Not," was not about me. That is true. Well, I told somebody I bought this shirt under false pretenses. It didn't look like this in the store. That's enough out of you. All right. No. I thought it was because she didn't pick up an outline again. Genesis chapter 5. This is a unique chapter in the early accounts of Genesis. So I would like to, as best as possible, get through chapter 5 tonight, and then let's start doing questions, okay? There's not a lot of comment to be made on the text itself other than what it says. So we're not going to read all of these verses, but I do want to read a couple of them. You've got several blanks to fill in. So let's get through the outline, and then if you have questions, we'll deal with them at the end. So tonight, I've got a little PowerPoint. We'll deal with this here in a minute. Somebody read Genesis 5 and the first two verses. Okay, so what is the significance of these early chapters of Genesis? Why is this so important? Oh, and by the early chapters, I mean chapters 1 through 11. Why is it so important? Okay, you've got creation, the creation account. Everything. Culture, law. I mean, it's the beginning of religion, you know, worship. It's the beginning of everything. And so as we've been saying, if this is to be taken allegorically, you're gonna run into a lot of problems throughout the rest of Scripture. So we'll kind of notice that here in the middle part of your outline, but this is the foundation of everything. It gives us the history of every beginning. Our beginning as humans, the scheme of redemption there in Genesis 3, the seed of woman, and the enmity between her seed and the serpents. If we allegorize these early chapters, then what are we going to do with the rest of the biblical record that notes that these are historical figures and historical events? And you're gonna have all kinds of problems through the rest of Scripture. That's the main point. So the chapter, obviously, what Derek just read to us, starts off going back to the creation itself. It's interesting because if you're reading from, Derek read to us from the King James, it says he called their name Adam. What does the New King James say? Mankind. The Hebrew word for Adam is Adam. And so some of your versions will read Adam, some will read mankind, something along those lines. Well, because Eve's name was not Adam, so the idea here is he blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. So we've looked at other things in Scripture that are connected to the creation of man and woman. And now the genealogical record, 10 generations, are connected to the creation of Adam and Eve, of mankind. All right? Three significant points. Okay, genealogies. They're all over Scripture. Old Testament and New Testament. Now, New Testament, you've got Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 3, specifically the genealogies of Christ. But in the Old Testament, you've got Genesis 5, Genesis 10. You've got them in the Chronicles. You've got multiple accounts of the genealogies. All right, so that's not insignificant. Genealogies are extremely important to the Jewish, to this culture. All right, so we need to know that. Why is this important? Well, 3 points, your first bullet point. Number one, God was preserving and recording the line of the promised seed. That's your first blank, S-E-E-D. And that's from Genesis 3 and verse 15. All right? This is being traced out. Blank number two, the command to be fruitful and multiply was being carried out. And that was, of course, given to man and woman after their creation in Genesis, as it's recorded in Genesis 1 and verse 28. But then thirdly, and this is going to be something that plays out in the next several chapters of Genesis, God's curse for sin was enacted. That's your third blank, enacted. Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. From the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And what does nearly every verse in Genesis chapter 5 say about the people? And he died. So that's why this particular genealogy is significant. Bullet number two, there appear to be no gaps in the genealogy as it is repeated in two other places. The exact same genealogy is recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and in Luke chapter 3, verses 36 to 38. You do have other genealogies that are not traced back to creation so specifically as this one is, but they're recorded for different purposes, like the royal lineage of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. The purpose of that one is to trace Jesus from Abraham through all the kings of Judah down to his time. So each genealogy has its point. We need to understand that. But this specific one is recorded in the first four verses of Chronicles and the last part of Luke chapter 3. This list is unique. Your next blank. This list is unique in that it gives the age of each father at the time of the son's birth for 10 generations, and again, it begins with the creation of man. Now, why is that significant, do you think, that it gives the age of each father at the time of the son's birth? What might we be able to do with that information? Count years. So I put that together up here. I'll just throw all of them up there at once. From Adam, from the time, and you'll notice it goes from Adam to Seth. Cain and Abel are left out. Abel's dead. And Cain's genealogy is traced back in chapter 4. So it goes from Abel, I'm sorry, from Adam to Seth. And Adam is 130 years old when Seth is born. So at whatever point in time Adam was created, you've got 130 years until Seth is born. Now, I want to go ahead and say this too. Jump down to the very bottom of your outline. Two significant problems presented to Bible skeptics in Genesis 5. And I don't like how I worded that. I guess I should have worded it more like those who are skeptical of the Bible point out what they believe to be two main problems with the genealogical record here. Number one is the age of the antediluvian people. Antediluvian, if you have Bible commentaries, you have one on Genesis, you will see that word. All that word means is the people who lived before the flood. Antediluvian, okay? So those who are skeptical of Scripture, those who are skeptical of God, of creationism, etc., they struggle with the age of the people being recorded here. The second struggle is, if you count, as genealogies are counted in terms of figuring a frame of time for a family, there's only about 1,600 years from creation to the flood, approximately. Exactly 1656, if you follow those numbers. Because the flood, we're told, comes in what year of Noah's life? Do y'all remember that, what Scripture says? We haven't got there yet. I just didn't know if anybody is in the 600th year of Noah's life. So that sounds absolutely crazy to those who are skeptical of the authenticity of Scripture, the historicity of these accounts. So we will deal with that. We'll deal with that more when we get to the flood account. But I just wanted to go ahead and point those out to you. The age of these people, and that there's not 4.6 billion years from the Big Bang till now. There's no way to harmonize the biblical account of creation and these genealogies with the Darwinian timetable. It's absolutely impossible. There is no compromise that can be made between those two frames of reference, let's say. Okay, I guess I'll go ahead and open it up. Any comments or questions yet? You have the tree of life. Man had access to the tree of life. And like I said, there's some things we're going to talk about when we get to the flood that when that catastrophe occurred, a lot of things changed that you and I now have to deal with that they didn't have to deal with environmentally, genetically even. So we will get there with that. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. And the descendants of Cain, they go off the rails pretty quickly. And we looked at that. Then we know that nobody's perfect. That's obvious. So it's kind of like I've compared it to building some type of structure. If you start off on a corner building walls and within a foot you're off by half an inch, how far off are you going to be in 30 feet? A lot more than half an inch. It just continues to get worse. And that's what Marcia said. This kind of goes along with that too. Not only do you have genetic problems that arise and environmental problems that arise, but you've got spiritual problems that it just keeps getting worse and worse the longer time goes on. And I think that's part of the contrast from the end of Genesis 4 to Genesis 5. And then you get to Genesis 6, and every thought of man's heart was only evil continually. It's gotten so bad now that we've reached a critical mass. And something needs to be done. Yeah, I think there's something to that. Yes. Well, and one thing that illustrates, in a way, is the fact that we are created in God's image, that we are moral beings with conscience and choice. And one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture to talk along these particular lines is Ezekiel chapter 18. We're not going to go over there and read it, but Ezekiel 18 gives us three generations. The first generation is a man who is just, follows God's will. I mean, it enumerates a lot of things. The next generation, his son, completely different. And the third generation is the guy who looks at his father and ends up acting like his grandfather. You know, so I think there's something to what your friend was saying in terms of time. And really, 1,600 years, I mean, compared to 4.6 billion, it's nothing. But that's not a short period of time. You know, things can get bad in a decade, you know. Sure. I tell you what, somebody turn over to Psalm 1 and read. I think it'll just be verse 1, Psalm 1:1, because you have in this particular verse the progression of sin. And, things can go bad fairly quickly if they're not kept in check. Psalm 1:1, somebody. Have any of you ever heard that outlined, the progression of sin? Walks, stands, and sits. Kind of passing by and notices it, and then you stop there and you're observing it and watching it, and then before you know it, you're caught in the middle of it. That's the progression of sin. And there's no question that that is a part of this account here. Time is passing, and things, for a fact, are getting worse. Okay, next verse. I want somebody to go to Jude 14, because one of the allegations against this particular lineage here in Genesis 5 is, well, this isn't complete. There are gaps here. Well, again, number one, you've got two other passages of Scripture that are written at completely different times, and obviously by different authors, separated by hundreds and hundreds of years, but it's the exact same lineage. Jude 14, somebody. Enoch is the seventh from Adam, right? So you've got Adam, Seth, Enosh, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch. That's seven. So you've got this document, the book of Jude's written mid-60s A.D. If Moses is the author of Genesis, which most conservative scholars agree that he is, that's approximately 1,600 years difference. And so, like I put in your outline here, Jude 14 confirms, number one, the historicity of this genealogy, and number two, the chronological continuity of the list. If he's the... you all right? The historicity, the historical... S-E-E-D. Well, we're going to have a spelling test at the end of this quarter. Okay. H-I-S-T-O-R-I city. C-I-T-Y. Historicity. That's the historical... It's historical fact. I guess I could have used two words, but... I don't know. I like historicity. Anyway. And the chronological continuity of the list. I didn't make you spell chronological. Continuity. The continual nature of the list. There are no breaks here. Do what? I'm sorry. My shirt's too bright and good night. Y'all give me 10 minutes, I'll go home and change and we'll start over. But from Adam to Enoch, seven generations. Yeah, to Methuselah. Enoch was 65 when Methuselah was born. No, he's after Enoch. I said Mahalalel. Well, he was Enoch's grandfather. No, Methuselah was Enoch's son. Now you're making me think I'm crazy. Verse 12. That's okay. Yes. No, Methuselah is Noah's grandfather. Is that what you said? Okay. I can't hear over my shirt. Yes. Yes. Is my face red? Well, there's something interesting about that. How was this information? Because again, Cain's lineage went off pretty quickly. So, Tammy, since you brought that up, if you would, read Genesis 5, verses 28 and 29. They passed this information on. So, however many generations that is from Adam, they were still talking about the curse that God placed on the ground. Yeah. So, I've got a couple of other things I want to put up here. Interesting information to me. If you follow the numbers here, Adam lived to see Noah's father. Because he lived, 800 years after the birth of Seth. So he lived that far into that lineage. These are things we don't typically think about. Well, you know, my dad's dad, my grandpa, died in 1972. He was 43 years old. I know his name was Robert. I know he had a couple of kids. One of them was my dad. You know, they tell us these days, it's like, I want to say it's by the fourth generation, your family doesn't really even know who you are anymore. Well, we've got 70 to 80 years, you know. We just don't stick around that long. So Adam lived to see Lamech, the father of Noah. Seth died 14 years before Noah himself was born. Kind of interesting thought. And this is key, and like I said, well, when we get into Noah and the flood account, lifespans show a slow and steady decline after the flood. And I think that's, again, I think that is because of sin, obviously, and the consequences of sin. I think it has to do with environmental issues post-flood. You've heard stories of the Ice Age. I mean, there's a whole series of Disney movies, Ice Age. I have no question about that. I've known Christians in the past who are like, oh, there's no such thing as an Ice Age. Yeah, there was. There's no question about it. The issue is, are we going to try to frame it within the Darwinian aging process or creation? So it's not an issue of if it happened. It's more an issue of when and what caused it. And then the list is later confirmed again by the author of Chronicles and Luke. So completely different cultures, hundreds and even thousands of years later, this same genealogical record is listed. So I tell you what, I've mentioned it a couple times. Somebody turn over to Luke 3 and read those verses there. Oh, it's not up there. Luke 3, 36 to 38. I'll go to Chronicles. Instead of just keep mentioning it, here's 1 Chronicles 1, 1 to 4. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. I mean, what is a chronicle? Kind of like a historical record. That's where it starts. All right, Luke 3, 36 to 38. Adam's called the son of God there. So you have the same ten generations, same 10 names. There are no indications of any breaks in the genealogical record. It's consistent. Any questions or comments on any of this? Oh, okay, yeah. Yes, and in the lineage of Cain, there was a Lamech. Well, in the lineage of Seth, there's a Lamech too. In the New Testament, how many Marys do you have? You've got at least three. So similar names are, yes, that's no issue. Well, here's one for you. Joshua of your Old Testament. It's the same word for Jesus. Just one's Hebrew and one's Greek. So that's no issue. Okay, so just for instance, when John the Baptizer was born, it was communicated to Zacharias by the angel, you're going to name him John. And when he announced that to the people, it's like they threw a fit. You don't have anybody named John in your family. Why would you do that? Well, because an angel told me to. It was customary to maintain a name in your family. I have no idea. I think so, because one of the reasons I would think this family was, are you talking like geographically close or like we really like each other close? And we hang around each other. You know, there are some family members you're like, yeah. I think geographically they remain fairly close, because it's not until Babel that man begins to disperse into different countries. So it's more than likely that they were located pretty close to each other, yeah. Any questions on any of this so far? One of the things I did put in your outline here, there's not really a whole lot to say to it, but other places these names are mentioned in Scripture, you will notice that seven of them, starting with Seth, you got Seth, Enosh, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, Methuselah, and Lamech. They're mentioned in Genesis, Chronicles, and Luke. Whereas Adam, Enoch, and Noah are mentioned in multiple books of your Bible. And again, one of the things that does for us, and it's both Old and New Testament, you'll notice, is again, it to me it shows the accurate historical nature of what we're reading here in Genesis chapter 5. There's, in my opinion, there's no reason to doubt the historicity of these of this record. You know, if you've got one witness to something, you might be able to call it into question, doubt it, but when you've got three witnesses and they're saying the exact same thing at different periods of time and from different cultural backgrounds, that's a little more, that's a lot more convincing, a lot more firm bit of evidence. Yes. Lamech, the father of Noah, yes. Well, some of them lived up to that point in time. Eight souls were saved by water. Yes. You got Noah and his wife. They had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. Yeah. Well, you know, and I've talked about this to some extent. What Adam witnessed, what he went through, you know, in the initial post-creation life there in the garden, what he saw, his... Because in that time, and particularly from our time, the communication, the fellowship with God was so much more intimate. Like, and what I mean intimate, it's God is communicating verbally with them. God does not communicate with us verbally today. You can't hear what He's saying. And so you have, I think through that process of time, they're cast out of the garden. Adam has all that information fresh on his mind. I don't think you would ever forget that. Of course, Abel dies, Cain goes his way, and then you have Seth. That's where that information is going to get passed along, but Adam recounting the word you were going to use earlier, Forrest, story, Adam recounting that story, not going to necessarily convince everybody, you know. Not everybody's going to have the proper type of faith. I believe he died in the flood. Enoch, yes. Somebody read Genesis 5 and verses 21 through 24. Genesis 5, 21 to 24 in regard to Enoch. For God took him. He and Elijah, according to Scripture, are two men that did not die, that were taken. Hebrews 11, 5 talks about Enoch. Of course, we see Elijah, no pun intended here, reappear in Matthew, on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. So he was, how old again was he? 65 when his first, no. Yeah, 65 when Methuselah was born, and then he didn't see death, according to Scripture. Yes. Yes. And each one of these, you will notice as you read through each of these passages, it says, and had sons and daughters. Well, how did population? That's how population grew. Each of these individuals had sons and daughters. And how long did they live? Well, we don't know. One person on the live stream said, I've often wondered how long the women lived. Well, frankly, women were not, I won't say that important in that culture, but I guess that's what I'll say, for lack of better words. Well, naturally. But in terms of a genealogical record, it was based on the males. He's got a calculator, you have the dictionary, and Josh has the thesaurus. And I've got the orange shirt. Whomever he wanted to. I have no doubt about it. And the reason I say I have no doubt about it is because of Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Moses was a prophet. Enoch was a prophet. I mean, that's Jude 14. Enoch was a prophet of God. Noah was a 2 Peter 2:5 calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. So I have no doubt, and that's kind of one thing I was saying earlier, Tammy, is that it's like as time went by, that type of communication, just like the ages, it showed a slow and steady decline. Because like Moses was the lawgiver. Now, God communicated with Israel, yes, but it was by and large Moses who did that, who verbalized it to the children of Israel. He said, go down from this mountain and give this law to the children of Israel. So even over time, even that direct method of communication from God to man changed. Well, we'll talk about that. Yeah. It's there in Genesis 6, 120 years. But was that how long it took to build the ark? Was that how long he preached? We'll talk about that. All right, guys. Oh, okay. Patriarchal age, where the fathers are the head of the religious practices, goes from Adam and Eve to Sinai.